for a minute at Proverbs 6:23. Proverbs 6:23, just for a minute. Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And God put this upon my heart as a young Christian, probably a couple years after I was saved, maybe even the first year, not sure exactly the timeline, but I was studying Proverbs one day as I was studying in those days. Oh, it's probably a couple years because I started studying Proverbs a chapter a day sometime early in my Bible college because a preacher came along and challenged his students to do that. And I took that to heart and started studying a chapter of Proverbs for a long time every day. And there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, so you can read through Proverbs every month. And I started collecting commentaries on Proverbs and studying it. Looking at what the commentators said, they were very helpful in some cases. But anyway, I was studying that, and one day this really jumped out at me, Proverbs 6:23. And I knew that God was telling me that this was going to be my ministry in a special way. We need instruction, so I'm going to be a teacher. I wanted to be a teacher ever since I got saved. Everything I've learned, I've wanted to teach somebody. And that passion has only grown. I was learning glorious things at first just right away. And I just was eager to teach somebody and to write it down. So that was there. But it's reproofs of instruction that we need. Not just instruction. The world's full of Bible teachers today. And a lot of them are pretty good. Evangelicals. And men like Warren Wiersbe. Warren Wiersbe wrote the B series. And a lot of pretty good Bible teaching there. No reproofs. I recently read Warren Wiersbe's autobiography, Be Me, it's called. And he glories in the fact that he didn't preach against anything or anybody. He glories in the fact that he was a Billy Graham type ecumenist and everybody's good, everything's fine, and we just teach the Bible, but we don't reprove anybody, and he never did. Not what we see in the Bible. But that, of course, you could be popular that way and have a big audience and have a big tent and get a big following and sell a whole bunch of books, but it's not what we see in the Bible. And so I knew what we need is what we see in the Bible. We don't need just instruction. We need serious instruction. Girls, we need a serious instruction, but we don't need instruction, just instruction. We need reproof. Preach the word. What? Reproof. That's the first word. Reproof, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Yeah, we need doctrine. We need the preacher to be long-suffering, but we need reproof and rebuke. Those are the first two things that are mentioned. Reproof and rebuke. That must be an emphasis. Just like in Colossians 1:28. We preach Christ, but how do we preach? Warning every man and teaching every man. Warning's mentioned first. Obviously, we need it. It's not psychology, it's not good psychology. Psychology says you got to be positive. But the Bible says we need warning and reproof. We need reproof and rebuke. And I knew that. And I grew up without it. I grew up in Southern Baptist, and there was no rebuking in the preaching. It was soft, and the preachers were hirelings. A Southern Baptist preacher, for the most part, at least in the South where I grew up, is a hireling. He can be fired any day, and especially if he offends the deacon's wives, he will be fired tomorrow. Guarantee you. No, that's the way it operates. And so he's not going to step on anybody's toes. And he knows how to sound a little bit strong sometimes, but without quite offending. He knows how to walk that. And if he doesn't, he gets fired. At one church in Tennessee where I preached, where I started preaching, And they fired the preacher every year. They got a new preacher in that Southern Baptist Church in Tracy City, Tennessee. And I grew up with that. And I knew that I was getting good things from the Bible. And part of it is because it was correcting me on every hand. Correcting me. Correcting my music. Correcting how I looked. I used to love my long hair. But it was correcting me in every way. And I needed it. And I needed it. And I was growing through it. And I wanted preaching like that. And that's my calling. It's definitely my calling. And I might be a little bit more reproving than most preachers. Probably am. But that's my calling. God has used it to help a lot of people. It has offended a lot of people too. Oh my. But it's helped a lot of people, and they've told me it's helped them. By the way, offense is carnality. The Bible says in Psalm 119, I'm writing a commentary on Psalms these days, and it's glorious. Psalms is glorious. And Psalm 119 is a whole book in itself, but it says, "A great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Certainly not the Word of God. If you love the Word of God will not offend you. And so it's a measure. If you're easily offended, that's a big warning sign. Big warning sign. If you're offended at a preacher who's preaching the Word of God. And we are not to follow preachers blindly. No way. No way. We are to test the preacher. We're to test every preacher by the Word of God. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. But if he's preaching the Word of God, it's the Word of God. God's not here physically. He's using men. That's the way he does it. And the man is to preach as the oracles of God. He's to preach with authority. He's to make sure his message is right and preach with God's authority as the very oracles of God. That's a serious statement. And we need to receive it as such if it is biblical. So the goal of mastering the English Bible is, as we've said time and again, because it's the major theme, not just to learn the Bible, but to have strong New Testament churches that will stand in these evil times. And I have been greatly encouraged, even through this COVID thing, that we can have such churches, that Christ is ready to go. He is just as passionate about his work of saving souls and building up the saints and building strong churches as he was 2,000 years ago when he started this. Just as passionate. He told us to do this work. And then he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to what? The end of the world." We haven't reached the end of the world. We're at the end of the world. But the end of the world, this age will occur when rapture. So we're not there. We don't know. And we don't know exactly when that will happen. So we believe it will happen. We should live like it will happen any time. But we plan and go forward until it does. And he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world." I'm with you. Special promise for churches that are obeying his great commission. I'm with you. I'm with you when you're doing this work that I have given you. So the churches at the end of the age have this special promise. This is for the end of the age. That, "Lo, I am with you, even to the end." So he's passionate about this work to the end. And if his people will be passionate, then we can see great things. We can see great things. Doesn't matter how dark the hour is. Great things. And that's why I have this passion for churches. I believe we can have churches, I am sure of it, that are stronger than any churches that have existed in my lifetime. Today, if we'll take the Word of God more seriously, we're going to have to be more sold out and more serious than we ever have been. Homes have to be stronger. They're going to have to be stronger. General education of the children has to be stronger. The biblical education of the children has to be stronger. The discipleship of our people has to be stronger. The training of the youth is going to have to be stronger. If we were doing what we should be doing, then our young people would have the equivalent of a Bible college education, Bible Institute education by the time they reach high school, by the time they reach graduation level of high school. They would be that well educated biblically, if we were really doing the job. And we can do this job. Church membership, we're going to have to take that more seriously. What is a church member? What's required? What does God require of a church member? A lot. We see it in Scripture. We have to increase standards for workers, be more strong about standards for workers, about evangelism. Oh, about evangelism. Much stronger about evangelism. That's the fundamental of fundamentals is in Christ's Great Commission, is preach the gospel. The pastorate, we have to be stronger about that. The education of pastors, and we see teams of pastors in Scripture. We see teams. And I have a passion for that because I practice that, and I've seen great strength in it. Great strength. And I've always prayed, God, give me teams. God, give us teams. In the church we're continuing to establish today, we're praying for teams of leaders, and we're seeing God raise up teams of leaders. I'm not going to ordain just one man by God's grace. Ordain at least two, and we're seeing God do that in answer to prayer, and he's raising up these young men, and we're training these young men. Teams, strong, much stronger. I don't know one of our young men that could himself, just by himself, lead that church properly. There's not one of those young men that are really strong enough. I don't think there's a man alive that's strong enough, really, to lead a church of any size by himself. We just don't see it in Scripture. We have to pray for these things. We don't have these things. We have to pray for these things. We have to aim for these things. It doesn't happen overnight. But if we see something in Scripture, that's how we should aim. That's what we should aim for. Increase the operation of the church as a body, as a team. Our church in Nepal, we operate as a big team. We operate as three teams. And that is team of leadership. And right now, team of leadership. That's a team of pastors. And then a team of workers. Not everyone in the church has equal authority. Only pastors have authority. And a team of workers. And that is those that are really hands-on in various ministries in our church. The man that's the head of the rehab ministry, and the man that oversees the Bible college dorm, and the man that's in charge of evangelism. We have a man in charge of evangelism, and he, a young man, and he does a lot the planning, and we divided the city up, and the tracting, they go to different parts of the city at different times, and we're targeting parks right now, and they are going out with some musical instruments. They're not real good, but it's good enough to draw a crowd and to hear the preaching and the tract distribution, and we're all kinds of evangelism. But there's somebody in charge of that, and then all the other ministries, and then we come together every week for a long meeting, and there's reports, but we discuss things and we plan things together. It's not one person planning things; it's a whole team planning things, and then there's the whole team of the church. The whole church is a team, as we see in Scripture. It's a body, it's a team, everyone functioning, everyone having a part, everyone being built up, and everyone involved according to their gifts. It's what we see in Scripture. We're trying to do what we see in Scripture, not what we've seen in the past, not what anybody's tradition is. I don't care what anybody's tradition is. If it's not according to the Bible, then I can take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. We want to follow the Bible. This is a duly ordained, this is a proper church. Has a duly ordained ministry, has a duly ordained pastor. Your pastor, duly ordained, qualified according to the Bible? Absolutely. And that's rare. This kind of church is exceedingly rare today. some strong families, some good families that are separated from the world. Children sitting here under discipline. That is so rare. And the children are as disciplined in the services I've ever seen, except in my own services in Nepal. But as I've ever seen anywhere, really. That's a great blessing. So many blessings here, the children and the youth and the opportunities and the potential that is here. It's great. This is a duly ordained ministry, these 4 weeks, of a proper New Testament church. I didn't come here of my own accord. Pastor invited me. He's a duly ordained pastor. He has the authority to do that, according to the Bible. And therefore, this meeting, biblically speaking, is God's will for every member of the church. Has to be. How do we know God's will? Certainly through the church. The church is doing things properly, biblically, and God's leading in that. The devil's not leading. The devil's not leading you to get more on fire with the Bible. That's God. God doing something special. I didn't even know this place existed. I still can't pronounce it. I didn't come here. God brought me here. I pray where to go. I said I don't have to go anywhere. I don't financially or whatever, personally, but I have to go where God wants me to go. That's the other side of the story. And that God brought me here at this particular time upon the invitation of the church. I didn't just drive by. Nobody just drives by this church. Well, there might be 5 people. No, it's God. God's speaking. God's trying to lead. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. They're not trying to hurt you. Godly pastors, certainly not trying to hurt you. They could do other things. The hardest job in the world is to pastor a church. Oh my. It has to be. People. Because of people. But you wouldn't have a church without people. It's hard. They watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. If the pastors are leading according to the word of God and you're giving them grief, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're in trouble with God, not with man. We need to look at God, not man. I'm nothing. Don't look at me unless I am God's man. Look at God. We better look at God, not at one another and all of our little weak. We're just a bunch of nothing, basically. But that's not who we need to be looking at in all of our little problems and situations and goofiness. We need to look at God. This is God's business. This is God's business. And it could be more and more God's business if we please Him more. And He can spew you out. He can spew a church out. So it's not a church of His anymore. Most churches are not. Christ doesn't. He doesn't own them. He said to the churches, Ephesus, because you've left your first love. Because you've left your first love, just for that, I'll take away your candlestick. You're not going to be my church anymore. Ephesus was a great church. It was through Ephesus that God revealed the eternal plan of God. He said, you won't be my church anymore if you don't love me. If you don't love me, serious stuff. So we can't take it for granted that we are the church of God. Only way we can tell is if we're obeying the word of God. That's the only way we can really tell, not feelings. Getting some tingling feeling. Nah, this is a serious time. It really is. Serious business. I'm only talking about following a man of God as they men of God as they lead in the Word of God. I hate blind following. Jack Hiles required unquestioning loyalty. And that philosophy spread very widely. Unquestioning loyalty to a man? Give me a break. I'm to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Who do you think you are? And as long as you're following the word of God, I must follow. I must honor that man. I must obey. I must try my best to do what I can to make the church work. But not if he's not leading according to the word of God. The Bible says he's to be disciplined. Pastors are also under discipline, 1 Timothy chapter 5, if they sin. And there's witnesses, the proper path is taken, the proper method is done, and there's witnesses, and he sins, he's to be rebuked before all. Pastors are not above discipline. We're not talking about that kind of loyalty and blind fellowship. We're talking about a pastor that is following the word of God, that is getting better and better educated in the word of God, and that is accountable to the people, but only because of the word of God. It's not a democracy. The church is not a democracy. Demo, the people's. The people's crassy. The people's power. Nobody is going to be harmed. We have 3 4-day meetings every year in our church. And we require members to come. You can't join. All this is known up front. It took a long time for us to get to this place in our church to revise our constitution and everything so that we would do this. Require faithfulness of the people. And so anybody that joins knows this up front. We don't surprise people. But they know that if there's a conference, if there's a 4-day conference that we have 3 times a year, they're going to have to be there. They're going to have to plan it just like Israel planned for her feast. And that's just part of my calendar, like everything else is a part of my calendar. And I make my plans like I do everything else. This is not rocket science. But they do 4 days a week. And that doesn't include a Sunday or weekend. That's 4 days out of the middle of the week. Nobody's going to be harmed by making this meeting a priority. I do not believe that. I don't believe anybody will be harmed financially, even, by making this meeting a priority. Now, I think you can be harmed, but it can't be. It's not possible. The meeting was not planned long range like it wasn't planned last year. I don't remember how long it was planned, but it was planned. And those that have been here, and I don't know what kind of meeting we'd have if had some men not been here. You're not going to be hurt. It's not possible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. And all these things shall be added unto you. Either that's true or it's not true. But it is true. It is true. I've seen it personally 1,000 times. 1,000 times. Oh, more than that. Can't be. Now, you might be harmed financially by making wrong choices, or by not working, or by not doing the right work, or by getting in debt. We can do all kinds of things wrong and harm ourselves financially, sure. But you cannot be harmed by putting the word of God and the work of God first. I do not think that's possible. Now, if this meeting went on for 365 days a year, that might be a different case. But this is very special, and it's God. It's God. And so each member needs to get his eyes off of man and onto the Lord. The church belongs to Christ 100%. He's the sole head. Soul head. The question is not whether you've been here every service. The question is, how seriously have you taken the meetings? That's the fundamental question. There's no doubt in my mind that not every member could have been here every service. I see that. You see that. The question is, this has been a test. This is a test. How seriously have you taken it? How seriously are you ready to take these kind of things? the will of God, the word of God, the work of God? Have you even tried to get off work? Well, we know who's here, but we also were speaking to people that are not here. I mean, what effort did you make? You know the answer to that. No one else knows the answer to that. If you couldn't get off work, are you really planning to take this whole course seriously, which we've emphasized, because it's God's time for this church to do these things? So if you have not even been here, or if you have been here, how seriously are you planning to personally take this whole course? And how seriously have you taken it even if you sat here? Those are the questions that show what kind of heart you have right now, what your Christian character is right now, where you are. This has been a test. God's calling people to move ahead. That's revival. Oh, I want revival. It won't happen if we don't get shaken up and do something more serious. That'll be revival. That'll be revival. We'll never regret it. Well, the devil's going to get more angry and there'll be more warfare, but you never regret it. Revival. I don't think there'll be anybody in heaven saying, man, I got revived too much down there in heaven. It was just too much revival. I did too much for the Lord. I just read the Bible too much. Passed out too many gospel tracts. There's one man in this church that does more in evangelism than the whole church puts together, by the way. I might as well just say everything I want to say. And so, a lot of things that need to be done. And a lot of things that can be done. Lots of workers here. I see a bunch of them. Man, this place is a great mission field. A great mission field. It's not New York City, but it's big. There's a lot of people within a short distance here. A lot of people. And there's all kinds of ways to get out the gospel. And all kinds of ways, and that's what we need to be doing, all kinds of ways. And so everyone needs to find his place and get involved in everything. Comes back to the heart. I don't know what the future of this church is. But I think it's going to depend a lot on what you do with what you've heard, even this month. Next stop is Chicago. And we finished the Gospels last April in Chicago after these meetings here. And then we'll be doing Acts, the Lord willing, starting Sunday. Pastor Courtney Lewis started that church 14 or 15 years ago. They just celebrated their, I think, 15th anniversary. And they had a big push to try to get a lot of people in to hear the gospel. And they had 500 people. They only have about 80 members, I think, something like that. I don't know. Not a whole lot. But they have a great passion for evangelism. And it's not quick. 1, 2, 3, pray after me stuff. But nobody can get saved unless they hear. And so they push, and they have pushes, and they have... get a lot of people in to hear the gospel that never would have heard otherwise. And that's how they celebrated their anniversary, with a gospel meeting. With a gospel meeting. Chicago, what a mission field that is. And while I was there last April, Pastor Lewis wrote to his men. He said this, men of the church. Pastor Lewis is quite a leader. And in Chicago, in that whole area, it's a black area. And men don't tend to be the leaders. Women tend to be more the leaders and heads of the homes. But this man's a leader, and he's leading men, and he's teaching men to be leaders. It's a great thing to see. Men of the church, this conference has already met some serious needs in my heart, life, family, and our church. This is in direct answer to prayer. These verses reflect the prayer of my heart concerning these meetings. Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He said, that's my prayer for these meetings. Brother Cloud and I have been discussing different aspects of our ministry that can and must be strengthened. I am determined to take advantage of the benefit of having this dear brother with us for 2 weeks. Brother Cloud did not come to Chicago just to have a venue to record his material. He came wanting to be used by God to help build Cornerstone Baptist Church spiritually. I wish you could all see in person how God is using his ministry in Nepal. He has preached for us in Nepal. He's been there in Nepal. He's also been to 3 of my conferences in the Philippines. He said, I wish you could see the ministry in Nepal. I want to see God receive even greater glory from our church. Brother Cloud has been very careful to respect my authority as pastor, but I don't want my position to get in the way of our church being brought to the next level spiritually. God uses men. That's how he gets his work done. With this in mind, I have specifically asked Brother Cloud to be a second set of eyes, comparing everything he sees to the Bible that he has dedicated his life to studying. I have no doubt in my mind that God has sent him to our church for such a time as this. God has given us a wonderful ministry, but there are areas where we certainly need to grow. One area to be strengthened is the amount of attention our men give to the preaching and teaching of God's word. The young girls in our church are taking this teaching time seriously. Their Bibles are open. Their textbooks are open. They are listening intently. They are taking good notes. Many of the ladies are taking these sessions seriously. Their Bibles are open. Their textbooks are open. They are listening intensely and taking good notes. The girls and ladies should not be leading in this. The men should be leading this important business of intently receiving the teaching of the New Testament church. And he recognizes the emphasis is the New Testament church. Once the audio visual is set up and running, he's talking about to the audio men in the back. And this has not been a problem here, but it was a problem there. The men were just kind of mingling around back in the back during the teaching. He said, once the audio visual is set up and running, let's work harder on giving our full attention to our open Bibles and in taking notes that will build us up spiritually to be stronger men, fathers and husbands. During the teaching and preaching times, let's have one man watching the main entrance. They have like this a guard. The main entrance, one man watching the computer and the security cameras. This is Chicago, security cameras. It should only take one person during the evenings. With the exception of the designated audiovisual person chosen on a rotation basis, let's set the recording up and then forget about it. Let's take our seats and take in the preached word. Again, even the one watching over the recording should be careful to be engaged in the preaching with open manuals, materials, open materials. That's what I've been teaching. This is a Bible college right now. So you don't just sit there, open materials in a learning mode. I know how to learn. I do know how to learn. That's my expertise. Area of expertise. He said, do that. If I, the pastor, with all my various responsibilities, need to pay close attention during the preaching, you all do as well. I will be addressing this more so that this area continues to be strengthened once the conference is over. You men sacrifice a great deal and bring your families to hear the word of God. As your pastor, I owe it to you to make sure you're getting everything out of the preaching that you need. I owe it to you, he says. He cares. He's doing this because he cares. I have no doubt you will receive greater blessing as a result. Positionally, it needs to start with us as men. When the Bible is open, we need to be given greater heed. We need it. As we need it, Courtney. Young black man. Yes. And so our session's over for this hour. We never did get to the silent years yet, but the Lord willing, tomorrow we can do that. God bless you. Thank you.